going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I was really excited. I was in the car last night, and I was listening to WWL, and I heard the first pick of the Saints, the number 9th pick in the first round, and the Saints selected Calvin Banks, an offensive tackle from the University of Texas. Now, it's not one of those sexy picks. It's not a wide receiver. It's not a quarterback. It's not a running back. It's not a sexy pick. But these are the picks that are necessary. I mean, you can have an average quarterback that looks really, really great if you've got a great offensive line. You can have a great quarterback, and if you have no offensive line, he's not going to do a very good job. So the offensive line is so, so crucial. And I love this pick, even though it's not a sexy, popular selection in the minds of a lot of people. A lot of the experts and people like the Saints think it's a great pick. I agree with that. Charlie Long is with the WWL sports team. He joins us here on WWL. Charlie, good afternoon.
Scoot, I echo your sentiments, man. It's, in the pre-draft process, Mike D'Antilier and I talked about this a lot, that it's a quote-unquote meat and potatoes draft. And it doesn't get any more meat and potatoes than Calvin Banks Jr.
Yeah, you're right. No, look, I love this selection. When I heard this, I thought, yes. Because, again, you know, you can have a great quarterback if you don't have an offensive line. He's not going to be effective. You can have an average quarterback with a great offensive line look really great.
And Calvin is specifically a very high floor, you know, high character guy as well. In his 3-year career at Texas, he was a starting left tackle all 3 years there. And that's the University of Texas Longhorns. It's a pretty storied program. But he won so many different awards. He was the unanimous All-American back in 2024. He also won the Outland Trophy, the Lombardi Award, the Jacobs Blocking Trophy. He's a very clean prospect, Scoot. And just hearing him talk last night when he came on with the guys after being selected, you like to get to know the guy a little bit personally. And he had some great things to say with us last night. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, he got really emotional. Looks like he's really excited to be with the Saints. Look, one of the reasons the Eagles are the Super Bowl champions is because they had a good offensive line. And again, that's the dirty work. That's the ugly work of a football team. And they don't get enough attention. But those are the guys that really make it happen, whether it's the passing game or the run game.
Right, and Kellen Moore came on after the first round had wrapped up. And he basically echoed those sentiments, saying that it's a big boy game. Right, and you want to be able to win in the trenches. You want to be able to win up front. And Calvin Banks Jr. is definitely the start of kind of building an identity up front, too. Now, Scoot, there's a couple of things I want to give out here as well. The 33rd team had a great tweet about his collegiate career, the last two seasons specifically. And I think folks would like to hear this. 1,043 pass-blocking snaps. He only allowed two sacks, 3 quarterback hits, and a 2.1 pressure rate allowed. So, you know, when we asked him about, is he more of a pass-protecting left tackle or a run-blocking left tackle, he said he was a little bit of both, but I'd really love to see those pass-pro numbers. And just watching some, you know, film on him in the run-blocking game, he's a mauler at left tackle. Now, we'll see what they end up doing with him, where he ends up playing. Jeff and I are going to be talking about that in a little bit, you know, just kind of projecting what they want to do with Kelvin Banks since Taliese Fuaga, last year's first round pick, was their starting left tackle all year, and he was excellent. Do they move him back to his natural position at right tackle and have Kelvin Banks start at left tackle? Do they have him start at left guard potentially? Because that's a big question mark on the offensive line. There's still some things that need to be decided with this pick, but if you're talking about a safe player and a safe bet in the top 10, I think the Saints landed one.
Well, and here's a guy who's going to start his first year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, day one starter, for sure.
Yeah. Now, what is the big difference between the role of a guard and the role of a tackle, and which one is more important?
Yeah, it's a different kind of process, either attacking the edge rushers or interior defensive line. The closer you get to the middle, right, with obviously the center is the most important position on the offensive line because he's like the quarterback of the offensive line. But having those bookend tackles is extraordinarily important. And that's why I think, you know, when you see teams and how they value tackle versus guard, you typically, and last night, I know that Tyler Booker went at pick 12, and he's an offensive guard from Alabama. He went to the Dallas Cowboys. But typically, teams view tackle, specifically left and right tackle, as the higher, you know, priority positions on the offensive line, because you're going against the higher priority positions on the defensive line and the edge rushers. So
okay. You're
starting to see a little bit of a shift in that in recent years where people do value the interior of defensive line and offensive line. You have to have good guard play. You have to have good defensive tackle play. But at the same time, edge versus tackle is the most important.
Charlie, is he healthy?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's one of the biggest, actually, thumbs up for Kelvin Banks. I don't think he missed a game. He actually missed a couple games in his junior year. But as far as all 3 years at left tackle, he started a ton of games in college.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, well, let me just mention that I was listening, later in the evening, even after he was selected. And I just want to say that it's really fun to listen to Bobby the longer the show goes on. I'll just leave it at that. But anyway, they started talking about his arm reach and apparently like his arm reach that this may be one negative against him. But it's like, you know, how important is that when it comes to a tackle?
Yeah, that was the knock on Will Campbell specifically, the LSU left tackle. So here's the numbers real quick, Scoot, to answer your last question. Started all 13 games at left tackle in 2022, started all 14 games at left tackle in 2023 for Texas, and then this past year started 15 games at left tackle, but he missed the SEC championship game with an ankle injury. So he missed one game in 3 years in college. Going back to your term about arm length, like that was the big knock on Will Campbell in the pre-draft process. At the same time, like if you look at the tape and you see a guy that's just a solid, you know, pass protector and run blocker, and you really like his tape, you really like his footwork, you like his hand movement, hand placement, I think that, you know, you can get over some of that. I've always thought, Mike and I agree about this, that sometimes analytics, the quote unquote analytics nerds, will get a little bit too invested in arm length. I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, I could see where that would be an advantage when it comes to a receiver, but not an offensive tackle. So the Saints have a number of picks coming up in the second round today.
Yes, they have. They start with pick 40 in round two, which is going to be very interesting to see what they end up doing. There is a lot of good players still left on the board that either fell to this spot due to injury concerns, like kind of questionable medicals or character concerns and stuff like that. But if you're looking at WWL draft analyst Mike Tillier's big board, there is a ton of good players on the board. We'll see what happens, and Jeff and I are going to talk more about this in the pre-draft show. A lot of folks think that they're going to take a quarterback at pick 40, which, you know, I think that's a good thing that we have to note as well, that they didn't trade any assets to move back into the first round this year and chase a quarterback. They instead decided to stay put. They only made the 9th overall pick last night. And tonight now they have all three of their draft picks with 40, I think it's 73 and 93 in the third round. So we'll see if they use all three of them. But like I mentioned at the very start of this, Scoot, it's kind of viewed as a quote-unquote meat and potatoes draft where you may not get superstar players, but you should be able to find a lot of quality starters. And I'm hoping the Saints use all three of those picks and find some studs.
What quarterback might they find in their pick today if they pick a quarterback?
A lot of people, well, this was one of the biggest things about last night with Shakur Sanders falling out of the first round, the quarterback from Colorado, Deion Sanders' son. I still am not convinced that the Saints are going to take him, Scoot. I've talked about this a lot on Sports Talk, that Kellen Moore, obviously the first-year head coach of the Saints, was not in attendance at his pro day at Colorado. And it just feels like if Kellen is going to pick a guy, which he should have the final say on whatever quarterback they end up picking, because he's going to be kind of locked at the hip a little bit with him early on in his Saints tenure, I think that he would have, you know, left every stone unturned with the scouting process. And the fact that he wasn't there is a little bit of a sign to me that I don't think they're going to pick Shedeur Sanders, especially, you know, if he even falls to pick 40 in the first place. I don't think that's the fit. Now, the other two quarterbacks that are on the board that are intriguing maybe in the second round, Jalen Milroe from Alabama and Tyler Shuck from Louisville. And Milroe is kind of the one that I lean towards because I think he's got a higher ceiling. But Mike has told me before that Tyler Shuck is maybe the QB1 on some different teams' draft boards. And I think that's more of an indictment on this QB class than anything else.
You know, when I saw Sanders play for Colorado this year, you know, there were some brilliant moments, but there were also some panic-like sloppy moments. And I, you know, there were, again, some brilliant moments, but I wasn't overly impressed. Like, you know, he was the person that everybody needed.
The biggest thumbs up for Shedeur Sanders is his accuracy skills. I mean, you can't really teach that. You just either have it or you don't. And his processing capabilities are very strong. But he's not the athlete that some people, I think, make him out to be. He doesn't have the arm strength that some people make him out to have. And so I just, you know, 32 teams last night told you that he wasn't a first-round pick, and that's why he's here in the second round. And once you get to the second round and day two, it gets a little bit more mucky, but that's where you have to start finding these, you know, starting-level players that maybe have high floors over trying to take the high ceiling swing. I say that, but, you know, I'm also an advocate for taking Jalen Milroe if they take a quarterback in round two.
Yeah. He was really good this past season. So what about the idea of the Saints really looking for a running quarterback? They kind of have that with Spencer Rattler, and it seems like the league has just morphed into a league where a running quarterback is the prototypical quarterback now in the NFL.
And that's exactly what you'd be potentially getting with someone like Jalen Milroe, which, you know, his comp from Mike D was Jalen Hurts, who just won the Super Bowl with Philadelphia and Kellen Moore's offense. So I think that's kind of enticing, in my opinion. A kid with a great work ethic, by all accounts, too. There's some things that you have to kind of smooth out a little bit. You know, sometimes he tries to throw a 10-yard pass like he's throwing a 50-yard pass. But, you know, good coaching, I think, can fix a lot of things. And I trust Kellen Moore. So whoever he ends up deciding to take, if they, in fact, do go quarterback today, which, you know, I'm probably 60% sure they want to take a QB at some point, maybe closer to 70%. And if they do, round two is more likely than round three specifically. And in that situation, I think that Jalen Milroe could be a guy to watch.
All right. And joined Charlie and Jeff Nowak this afternoon starting at 4 o'clock for Draft First Take, and that's going to be right here on WWL, and a lot more still to come, so a lot coming up in the second round. Charlie, thanks for your time and your expertise, and we'll hear you later.
All right, Scoot.